of your tradition, you make void the word of God. You hypocrites. Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." You hypocrites. I don't think I like the sound of that. That just kind of makes me uncomfortable to hear Jesus say that, especially with the word "you" in front of it. You hypocrites. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, the leaders of the people, the Jewish leadership. He's speaking to the people who were the high muckety-mucks in his day. I mean, the Pharisees, they were the lawyers. Michael's not here, is he? Darn. He's speaking to the Pharisees, the lawyers, the scholars of Scripture. Those whose job it was, self-appointed job though it was their job to study and interpret the law of Moses. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the entire Old Testament, the Torah. Interpret it for daily living. You see, sometimes the law was kind of difficult because parts would conflict with other parts. For instance, the Ten Commandments say that you are to do no work on the Sabbath day. Keep the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. You're to do no work on the Sabbath day. Neither are your children to do any work. Neither are your livestock, animals, to do any work. So what do you do with an egg that was laid on the Sabbath day? That's a good question. Pharisees had answers for that question. An egg that was laid on the Sabbath day could not be eaten. I mean, the chicken had no choice but to lay that egg. I mean, come on. But you did not eat it. However, you could eat the chicken that was hatched from that egg. Well, that sounds like a nice little convenient, isn't it, to you? You can't drink milk that had to be milked on the Sabbath day from a goat or a cow. You couldn't drink that milk, but you could turn it into cheese or butter. How convenient. The Pharisees had all sorts of neat little tricks like that to get around the law. In fact, that's what they were really good at, interpreting and getting around the law. Before we're too tough on them, there was a neat little trick that they taught me when I was in undergraduate school about how to keep the Sadducees and the Pharisees different and straight. The Pharisees, they were studiers of the law, therefore they were fair, you see. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection, therefore they were sad, you see. I need a rim shot there. The Pharisees were not all that bad. They were trying, with their cultural setting and their traditions, the best way they could to interpret and apply the law of Moses, the only rules and regulations that the people of God in Israel had at that time. They were trying to figure out how is the best way to live. Unfortunately, they were taking Scripture, they were taking the law of Moses, and they were twisting it to their own advantage. For example, today, the Ten Commandments contain the law, honor your father and your mother. And we normally think that that applies to children. Honor your father and your mother. You hear that? Nod your head, yeah. Good. However, it doesn't apply just to the little children. It applies to the adults too. Honor your father and your mother. Okay. So, good way to get out of that. Honoring your father and mother means that you love them, you protect them, you take care of them. And that means that when my mother has needs, financial needs, I pay for them. I help her out. Well, a good way to get out of doing that is to tell your mother, Mom, that money I was going to give you to support you, I want to give it to the temple. I want to give it to God. I want to give it to the synagogue. It's going to go as special offerings to God. That sounds pretty good. We'll get eternal credit over here on God's ledger. Sorry, Mom, you don't get any money from me today. Is that honoring your father and mother? It sounds like a good thing. You're giving money to God. You're giving money to the temple. You're getting a good credit in your heavenly balance, right? Come on, wake up. Right? No. No. You're not honoring your mother or your father. When you take and twist through a neat little interpretive trick the Word of God, or when you ignore a critical part of God's Word, when you make it void by your own tradition of interpretation or application. That was the setting that Jesus was speaking in. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, the church is just as guilty as the Pharisees of twisting and interpreting the scripture and applying it for our own purposes. Last Sunday was a lot of fun. We had a great music group here. Ransom was wonderful. I had a great time. I enjoyed being with them and enjoyed being blessed by their music. But it was a little bit of an uncomfortable time for me. I mean, that was really a low church worship service, okay? I mean, we didn't have traditional hymns except for a couple. We didn't have liturgy really of any kind. I wasn't wearing robes and stuff. I was in slacks and a polo shirt and a jacket, rather relaxed and comfortable. And as I shared last Sunday, and I was asked to share it again because I didn't complete the story, so I'll complete the story this time. I'm uncomfortable when I'm not in robes. I'm very uncomfortable when I'm not in robes. 1992, I was pastoring a three-point charge out in Hunt County, and in the middle of my sermon, I was standing there in slacks and shirt sleeves with the sleeves rolled up and no robes. In the middle of my sermon, one of my retired clergy who was sitting out in the congregation, and it was a very hot day, he stands up in the middle of the sanctuary, and I'm standing there preaching. In the middle of my sermon, interrupts me and says, Brother Greg, your fly's open. And I went over behind the pulpit, zip. And from that day on, it's a rare occasion that I preach without a robe on. And a good thing, too, because it's four or five times since I've been here, and I've only been here a year and a couple of months. Four or five times since I've been here, I've gone back to my office and taken my robes off and looked down, and yep, it's down. I wear a robe to sort of get me out of the way, so I don't have to be concerned about things like fly being open, tie being straight, mix-matched, whatever. No, don't have to worry about that. I can set that aside and simply preach and proclaim the word. But you want to know something? If the tradition of wearing robes and stoles and stuff gets in the way of the word, gets in the way of faith, gets in the way of proclaiming the gospel, then guess what goes? The robes and the stoles. The church has many traditions. Kind of music we sing, kind of buildings we have, kind of worship services we do. All those traditions are fine until the moment they conflict with doing the gospel and being the body of Christ. The instant our traditions conflict with the gospel, with salvation by grace through faith, with proclaiming the good news, with being the body of Christ, The instant our traditions conflict, Jesus cries out to us, "You hypocrites. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me." And the church does this all the time. The church does this all the time. We deny the call to practice our faith. We deny offering the gospel to others for whatever reason, be they the wrong color, the wrong ethnicity, the wrong nationality, the wrong gender, the wrong sexual orientation, you name it, we deny sharing the gospel with them. We make void the word of God when we consider as more important the trappings of church rather than the life of faith. We void the word of God when we speak about the love of God without expressing it to others tangibly. We make void the word of God when we talk about being forgiven but refuse to forgive. We make void the word of God when we believe we can receive grace without being a means of grace for others. The phrase voiding the word of God, the Greek word here, means to deny, to reject, to disregard, to expel. And therefore, I like the modern translation, flush here. I'm serious. The word is sometimes used in secular Greek literature for what you do with your excrement. And we are treating God's word, God's calling on us, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the proclamation that we are called to live and be as the church of Jesus Christ. We are flushing Jesus when we put our church stuff ahead of being the body of Christ for this world. And we do that all the time as a denomination, as a people, with our rules and our regulations, sometimes with our social principles. We put church stuff ahead of being Christ to others. When you come to the table of the Lord today and you are given a bit of bread and invited to dip it into the cup and receive the sacrament, you are receiving God's grace afresh, anew. You are receiving a bit of transforming power in which God calls you into life in Christ and transforms you into the body of Christ for this world. You are receiving a miraculous, mysterious, inexplicable gift. But we become hypocrites when we rise from that table and refuse to allow God to change us or to go out and be Christ for others. Where in your life, my friends, where in your life are you putting churchliness, church structure and committees? Where are you putting other people's opinions of you? Where are you putting family and friends and business and country ahead of being the body of Christ? As I was preparing this message today, for today, I kept on getting uncomfortable as I was reading this. For I know that in my own personal life as a Christian, I'm constantly having to fight against placing my own personal traditions ahead of being the body of Christ. It's part of being a minister in a denomination, my friends. Having to struggle against structures, rules, and regulations
that I believe keep me from being able to be and proclaim the gospel as I am called. We as a congregation are in that same position. This is a reconciling church that truly accepts the calling that not only have we been reconciled to God by God's grace through Jesus Christ on the cross, but we are also called to be reaching out to others with that reconciling love, welcoming all in to the family without restriction. And we are called to be a witness to the other churches here in Mesquite, the other churches here in Dallas, to the other churches in the United Methodist Church, to this whole world. We are called to be a witness of the transforming love of God that knows no boundaries and that shares with others the open-armed acceptance of Jesus, who calls all to enter into a relationship. Where are we as the family of God through our traditions as a church, as a local church, as St. Stephen United Methodist Church, where are we placing a barrier or barriers between us and being the body of Christ? As you come to the table of the Lord today, and as you receive anew and afresh the glorious grace of Jesus, ask God to illumine in your heart where that may be and open you to being transformed.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.